Well, now looky what we have here. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it is Friday. Finally, Friday. It's February 7th. Almost 7 o'clock. Let's just call it 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Unless you want to try to act like I'm up early. 6:59 and 30 seconds. 6:59 and a half. Now it's not 6:59 and a quarter. On a Friday morning here at 2025. We have in my cup this morning, we have chai with cinnamon creamer. And my backup cup is really quite interesting this morning. I have reverse osmosis water. No ice. And it's the mineral filtered water, so it's has replenished minerals in it. It's just water, so it's good water. Not taking it for granted. I'm happy to have water in my cup here. Yeah, it's good stuff. We have that's actually pretty good water. We have few things to cover here. The left's reaction to the USAID thing. As I've said before, what is up with this? Why are they having a rally of all things? You know, normally when there's an issue, they throw a fit in the house. They make their little speeches and they do their little thing in the house. They don't have rallies about stuff like that's insignificant. Or that's good, you know, things that are good. They want to see Elon Musk fired. They want this guy fired. How does this guy? He's not elected by anybody. Elizabeth Warren's all upset about it. There's all kinds of congressmen and senators that are all up in arms about this whole thing. They haven't learned a single lesson from the last election. Nobody's believing these people anymore, by the way. And now what we're finding out is, and I've always wondered who finances this stuff. How do they get this money? Where does it? You know, it's not all just George Soros, because there's just too much going on, too many different organizations involved in this stuff. Act Blue and of course MoveOn.org. In fact, MoveOn actually sponsored the rally. So they organize this stuff. It's like a union type thing. They pay people to come to this stuff. It's all AstroTurf. Where are they getting the money for this stuff? Well, you know, there's a $50 billion slush fund out there for money kind of finds its way back to these organizations. That's what we're finding out now. Organizations like Politico and everything else that's out there that they're getting, that's just one, that's a tip of the iceberg. It's not even a tip, it's just like a little bitty, you know, flake. Microcosm of everything that's going on here. I mean, how much money does it take to run a, just a couple $1 million. Out of a budget of $50 billion, with a couple $1 million, they can subsidize the whole thing and keep it running. Swimmingly, I might add. Make it seem like a credible organization that's getting all kinds of... Who are the people who are sponsoring this stuff? Who are the advertisers? Much like PBS, Public Broadcasting, the television network. What are they doing? How are they doing their job? They have sponsors, the Arthur J. DeCio Foundation, or whatever it is that's today's sponsor. Brought to you by, you know, whatever this is, you know, brought to you by whatever corporation or a foundation. Usually it's a foundation because they can get money from those. And this kind of stuff happens, and nobody thinks anything of it. But that's an advertisement. They're being sponsored by it's not just public funding. Well, a lot of this funding is coming from organizations, either funded organizations from the USAID or some other government-backed thing. And the government itself, I think, funds public broadcast as well. It kind of underwrites everything for as far as the general expenses for most of these for most of the broadcasting system. And of course, the shows themselves have to have some kind of a sponsorship or some way to finance themselves. Television shows like Sesame Street and all that other stuff that's on PBS. So now we're finding out that the USAID funding is just it's the tip of the monster, basically. It's the head of the monster that's out there underfunding all this, or I should say underwriting a lot of things, funding a lot of things foundationally. And it's just, so the whole thing is going to dry up. We'll find out. We're going to stop the flow here for a little while, see what dries up, see what pops up and says, hey, we can't afford to go anymore. All of a sudden we lost our funding. We don't have any money left. And they act like, when they're out there yelling about it, I played all the montage yesterday, and I could play more today. There's a lot more things that have been said and a lot more things that are being said, and I'm just not going to continue to do that. I just don't have enough time in this show today. But you have to ask yourself, what is the reason for this reaction? Why are people in the streets? Well, the other thing that they're doing now, they're connecting this to welfare. They're connecting it to Social Security. They're pretending, they're trying to insinuate that your welfare check and your Social Security check are going to be, they're in danger because Elon Musk could be, he has the keys now to just, he has his hand on the valve to turn it on and turn it off, so Elizabeth Warren said. He can turn on the funding, he can turn off the funding.
Oh, I don't think this guy should be in charge of my grandma's Social Security check.
Well, he's not. He's not in charge of your grandma's Social Security check. So just stop with that stuff. This is just all kinds of crazy knucklehead stuff being said out there. Just flagrant lies. And where are they going to go with this? They're going to continue to stir up this kind of rhetoric. Now somebody's going to armor up, and they're going to decide they're going to kill somebody because, well, they're going to take my grandma's Social Security check. I'm going to defend her. This is the kind of rhetoric they just keep flying up with. It's like, we can't just have a regular discussion about this stuff. Okay, why do we need to fund a study on trans mice or something? We need $13 million for that, to study trans mice. What is wrong with these people? Those are your tax dollars, by the way, that are being spent. Of course, they want some extra. They need to get their hands off your money. Well, you've already taken our money. It's not our money anymore. You've taken it from us. You've already taken it, and you're spending it on. It's what you're spending the money on that we have a problem with. And when they say our money, it's our money. It's not Donald Trump's country. It's our country. Oh, what if Donald Trump said it's our country, and it's not Maxine Waters' country? It's our country. I mean, just these people are—they want to take. They're very generous, by the way, with other people's money. They make a lot of money taking other people's money, giving it away. Now, this Stephen Crowder had a really good program about the idea of getting rid of income tax. Now, and Trump actually came up. He actually had a very he's not what I would call a history buff, but he actually had a really good report on the whole idea of tariffs. Before the income tax, we had tariffs for a couple decades, several decades, that funded everything. We didn't have income tax. In fact, in 18, I think it was 95, right around 1895, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that actual date. I think it might have been 84 or 94, 96, somewhere around in there. So the last decade of the 1800s, the Supreme Court actually ruled that income taxes were unconstitutional, and they are, until the Congress came in and made an amendment so they could charge sales tax, or charge, I'm sorry, charge income tax. Now, the federal income tax, you have a lot of issues with the federal income tax. There's almost half the population doesn't pay federal income tax. those who are, and basically, and all about all the workers out there, 40% of the households don't pay any income tax, federal income tax, I should say. And it's a graduated bracket. So the more you make, the more you pay. In other words, not just, you know, you don't just pay 10%. Everybody pays 10%. Of course, the more you make. If you make $100,000, you pay $10,000. If you make $200,000, you pay $20,000. No, it's not that way. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a graduated tax. If you make $100,000, you pay 7% or whatever it is you pay, or whatever the $90,000, you pay 7.5%, whatever you pay. For I'm just using this as examples. I'm not a fiduciary. I'm not a CPA. So then we have. You know, if you make $200,000, now you're in a higher tax bracket. You'll pay, 15% of your income. They're gouging out, and this whole thing of graduated income tax came from Karl Marx. He hated the middle class. He wanted everyone to be on the same level. There's this idea that everyone's going to work just as hard as they can, and to everyone who has, to everyone who has not, and to everyone who, to each, everyone's ability to, what that whole thing, it's the bull. According to everyone's ability, according to everyone's need, whatever. All that stuff. It sounds beautiful, but it's not. It's evil. Yeah. So we have, let's check the mailbag here, see what kind of mail we're getting today. Looks we're getting, AARP. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, just nothing. It's nothing. Not getting any good mail today. The, the left has just lost their living minds. And I don't understand how people aren't seeing this. Why people aren't pointing it out. Why are they throwing a fit over this particular thing? And they're blaming Elon Musk, of course. Another person who just a few years ago was their hero, and now all of a sudden is the bane of their existence. Obviously, their source is being cut off, and they're all upset about it. That's what I'm getting at here. I'll spell it out very plainly. Obviously, the money funding going through USAID was their little pet project. It was their little way of getting that was their cash cow, and they're all upset about it. That's what I'm getting at here. Now, tariffs, they're calling, Trump he's an idiot. He's crazy. This idea that we're going to, tariff our way out of paying income taxes. No, this is actually a very good possibility. We had what we can do is when in 1913, I guess it was the Jekyll. If you ever had a chance to read the book, it's called the Creature from Jekyll Island or whatever it's called. I'm going to try to find it here. It's not a G. Gordon Liddy. What's the guy's name? Creature from Jekyll. Jekyll Island. Yeah, it's The Creature from Jekyll Island is what it is. It is a book. It's about the Federal Reserve and the creature. Yeah, it's how the Federal Reserve was created and how the income tax system was basically built from off of this whole thing. I think it was 1906, and then income taxes, the amendment, I think, to the Constitution was 1906, and then by 1913 or whatever it was, I think it was the beginning of. Let's see if the dates are on here. It's not actually on there. Very interesting book. It's a very interesting read. It's not a long, it's not a huge book. It's not like a novel or anything. It's just a booklet. I read it probably 35. And it's just very enlightening as to how the whole thing started. It was snuck in basically by the banking powers that were in effect at the time, the J.P. Morgans and all those people. It's just very disgusting what has happened to us. Now, I don't know of any other president in history who has, I think Ronald Reagan looked into this to some degree. And I think actually JFK may have even looked into it, but Ronald Reagan actually looked into it right before he was shot. Now, of course, he survived that. He's, I don't know if people don't remember, he was actually shot. There was an assassination attempt. He almost died. And he, and I don't know if it had anything to do with it or not, but this crazy man supposedly who was infatuated with some actress, Jodie Foster or somebody, I don't know. And he ended up wanting to impress her, he wanted to get her attention supposedly. So he decided he was going to try to shoot Reagan. So he did all that. And of course, it was a weird situation, very weird situation. A lot like the situation with the United Healthcare guy. How would you know he's going to be there at that time? Just happened to be there, right place, right time, right camera, all this stuff. It's just everything was kind of weird. Anyway, the stuff happens. I mean, it does, but it's just, it was just kind of weird. So we had this time in our history where there was no income tax. Now, of course, when they first implemented the income tax, it was only... They originally said it was going to be, I think back in the 1800s, they did have an income tax for the reason they came up with the Supreme Court was because it was implemented during the Civil War. It was a wartime tax. And it was struck down. It was taken back. I think at that time it was like 0.5% or something, ridiculously small. So it'll never get over 1%. And then they made it 3%, I think, initially. They tried to make it 8% or 7%. Somebody thought that was just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So they cut it in half. Went with 3%. And so it'll never go over that amount of percent. And of course, now we're paying ridiculous rates. And they're there for a while, for a short period of time. I think the rate was right around World War I or World War II. The top rate, I think, was like 94%. Something like that. Imagine that. For every dollar you make, you get to keep 6 cents. Who's going to work? I'm done working at that point. I keep 6 cents. If I got a dollar, can pay a dollar. Boy, but you're making $100 a week. And you can live on $6. This is back then. But $6 was a lot of money back then, but it's still. Why would you bother? So it guts the middle class, especially the upper middle class, which is kind of where everybody generally is just kind of trying to get to. Most workers can achieve that at least. You might not be the lower upper class, but you can at least be the upper middle class, or even in the center of the middle class. It's just it's a comfortable life. You can pay your bills. You can have a normal life. Accustomed to all the things the accoutrements that we're accustomed to. I tell you, we can live with a lot less than what we do. And that's the fallacy that most people fall into. They think they have to have the newest car. They have to have young people are so gullible with this stuff. They think, well, I got this nice new car now. I finally made it. They can barely make their payments. They can hardly afford to eat because they got their payment. They have to pay their rent. They have to pay their car, their insurance bill. And then something breaks, or they have an accident, somebody else hits them, and they realize, hey, even though I've got insurance, and the other person didn't have insurance, now what do I do? And of course, now then you've got the deductible you have to pay on top of that. And it's just one thing after another. And of course, they've been out, spending money on whatever they spend their money on, tattoos and Xboxes and nose rings. And so they're not sure what else they, my goodness, this is unfair. This isn't fair. Look, everybody else has everything. I was cheated. I was robbed. This was taken from me. Whatever. You live beyond your means. That's the biggest problem most people have, is we live beyond our means. That's just a nature of, and if you don't like that, I mean, you're saying that, that's just, I'm sorry. That's just the way we are. So we tend to do that. And even when you do have the means, then you live beyond that too. I mean, it's just, you can be, it's very easy to fall into that trap. And I've hopefully at my age now, finally after 60 years, I've kind of started to piece it together here a little bit. At least I'm realizing what's going on. Well, you can't see I'm doing much better with it. That's some good water right there. That's good water. So we have all this stuff happening with the tax situation. And, of course, if there was ever a president who could do this, it would be President Trump. I don't think you're going to find this with an establishment Republican, certainly not. Certainly not a Democrat. The Democrats are the party of tax and spend. They want to control you. They want to gut the middle class and give away. They want to feel generous with other people's monies. They constantly do that. All the while enriching themselves, much like Nancy Pelosi. She's making tons of money. How much of it is she giving away? I don't really care how much you make. Tell me how much how generous you are. Tell me how much of that what percentage of your income are you giving away? I'm not talking about giving away to your kids or your children or your grandkids or whatever. I'm talking about to charity, real charity, not just organizations that politically fund you. I'm talking about things that people can't pay you back. Show me that. See how generous of a person you are. Then we'll go from there. Because they want us to live that way. They want us to be able to just barely get by. Keep struggling, keep working hard. That way we don't have time to think about it. Because I guarantee you, once you have time to think about it, you'll be really upset. The pitchforks come out. Of course, Nixon, as much as I liked Nixon as a president, believe it or not, I actually was a big fan of Nixon, and I still kind of am, except for the one thing he did that really sold us down the river, and that was he took us off the silver standard. Now, I have friends on the left who, you know, you tell them about we need to get back on the silver standard or the gold standard, whichever one you don't want to do, it's fine with me. But the silver standard, it was a deal where, of course, your dollar could be traded for a dollar's worth of silver. Now, the silver market is still controlled to this day. It's incredibly controlled by banking systems. But it's when he took us off of that, putting us back on that. So for some reason, there are people on the left who say, well, I don't know. There's not enough silver for us to all carry around and have silver all the time. Well, that's part of the issue right there. The whole thing is it's a limited quantity of a commodity. It's an actual physical thing. It keeps the government from just printing money out of nothing and deflating the value of our dollar. The value of your dollar stays the same. If you had $300 worth of silver back in the day, back, you know, let's say 1965, and you wanted to go out and buy a nice suit, a really nice suit, $300. If you had that in silver, you just traded the silver for the suit, it'd be $300 worth of silver, whatever. Say it was, I don't know, 10 ounces, whatever it was. Probably less than that. And then you had, I don't know, what price of silver, what is it now, 30 bucks an ounce or something? And so back then, it might have been worth, you know, $5 an ounce or whatever. But that would buy you a nice suit. So you'd say 10 ounces of silver would buy you a nice suit. Today, 10 ounces of silver would buy you a nice suit. You see what I'm saying here? The price of the silver might have gone up with the value of the dollar because the dollar is not tied to that anymore. Now, if it was a dollar an ounce back then, it would be a dollar an ounce back. It would be a dollar an ounce now if it was still tied to it. And the same amount of dollars would buy you the same amount of product. Unless the value of that product would go up, then you'd pay more for it. But if it was a much nicer suit, I mean, if it was just a, you know, Go get a suit at Macy's, or you go buy a suit at the clothier down on the corner. So it's, you have this, the differences in the quality of the suit, or whatever you want to, or the fit of the suit, the customization of the suit. So it's just, you see what I'm getting at here. But apples to apples, you're going to pay, now that same suit that you would have bought for $300 back then is going to cost you $3,000 now. What happened to the dollar? Why can't I just take that and say, well, because of inflation? Oh, inflation, inflation's everywhere. It's just normal. No, it's not normal. The problem is they print too much money. There's too much money in circulation. It's not tied to anything. Who learns this in high school? Nobody learns this in high school anymore. They don't teach you what money is, or they don't even teach you how to manage money or anything about money. There's some private schools that do a good job of it, but there's not very many. You don't learn this in public school. I've just told you more about money probably in the last 5 minutes than you've learned your entire 12 years in public school. And I'm not even an expert on this subject. I'm just pulling this out of my hat here this morning. I had no plans to talk about this. But taxation is a means to control the population. It's all about control. If they can't control the means of commerce, they will control the means of your money supply, and that they, by doing so, they can de facto or indirectly control the means of commerce. It can keep you from investing in a business, starting a business, because I can't save up enough money. I got to pay all my bills, got to feed my kids, got to do all this stuff, have to have the latest, shoes from Nike. Could have the Air Jordans for my kids, because otherwise they'll cry and scream. I was going someplace with all that. I don't know where I was going. But anyway, the point being, we need a president that can be a disruptor, so to speak. That can be that's the term they're using now, I think. That can be the person who comes in and says, this can change. We have to think differently. We have to think outside the box on this one. We have to do things we've never thought of before. Because what we've been doing isn't working. We're heading in the wrong direction. We keep kicking the can down the road for the next generation to deal with. And of course, the next generation becomes more and more depleted in terms of fortitude and tenacity. They have nothing. Majority of them have nothing like that. Don't get me wrong. There are still some fascinating and amazing kids out there. One of the things that's interesting now is that spirituality has become, and they're calling it spirituality. Kids are more spiritual today than they were 10 years ago. I get a little bit concerned about the spirituality that they're talking about, because sometimes they don't, just being spiritual is one thing. Having the truth is a whole other thing. That's another thing. So we have to kind of I guess I didn't see that yesterday. Huh. For some reason that little picture didn't show up. So that's where we are with that stuff. Now, Gaza. Let's talk about Gaza a little bit more. Not a whole lot to say there. Then I'm going to get into the social media thing again, because I talked about it yesterday, but I've been doing a little bit more research on this. The Gaza thing is unfolding, I guess. We just need more details about this whole thing. The news media is not doing a very good job of asking questions. They're simply treating it as if it's a crazy idea, and they don't even understand the details of what we have planned here. And I think that kind of an idea. We need details. What are you suggesting here? What are you planning? When you say we're taking over Gaza, what does that mean? And how is that going to be implemented? Who's going to do it? What's this look like? It's such an abstract, ambiguous statement. We need more information on this. And I think it would be very helpful if we had some more information. So at this point, that's kind of where we're at with that whole thing. Now, I want to talk about just, I don't have much more time. I do need to get going here because I will be in Rochester, New York tonight. I am going to Washington, D.C., Reagan National tomorrow. I will be there most of the day. And I end up in, where do I end up to tomorrow night? I think I can't remember. Someplace. Oh, I end up down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But I'll be in Washington, D.C., actually Reagan National tomorrow. The last of the wreckage, as I understand it, has been pulled out of the river now. And it's still an ongoing investigation. A lot of things are being said that are just patently false, and a lot of weird conspiracy ideas being floated around, some weird stuff happening. They have found more footage from individuals and from other security cameras and things from other angles that have been shot. And I guess one of the workers at the airport had a security camera, had access to a security camera video, and actually supposedly leaked it to CNN. I don't know what that means, whether he sold it to them or if he just gave it to them thinking, hey, well, let's give it to CNN. And of course, I think that was actually a federal crime doing so, because it's a secure area. You can't just give away video like that without proper authorization. And I think he did that. I guess he got trouble for it. But it was actually a ramp video. Most of the ramps now have video cameras everywhere that record everything that's going on. And I guess this one camera caught it pretty well. It's funny because some people will play this stuff on YouTube. They'll play the whole thing, crash all the way to the ground several times. Other people won't, because they say it's against YouTube policy. I can't play this. I can't play the actual impact. For some people, I think it's just an issue of respect. It's just out of respect. They won't play it because you're watching people die. You can't actually see anyone dying. It's just, you know that's what's happening, and it's, out of respect for the families, out of respect for everybody involved. Now, I happen to know a fellow who supposedly flew with the captain from the PSA Airlines, from the American Airlines aircraft, and this is back when the guy first started. He was a new hire. The fellow that I know hasn't worked there for several years. But he flew with him when he was a first officer and didn't really remember anything about him, but he did fly with him. He says he did. You never know. Knowing this individual, I'm not so sure. I don't know. Maybe he did. Sometimes you think you flew with somebody you haven't flown with them. It's just, I know how that is, because you fly with so many different people. But, so these are real people, by the way. It's not, much like the planes that hit the towers, and the planes that hit the Pentagon, the plane that hit the Pentagon, and the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. There were real people on board. There were real crew members on board. They were real airplanes. Those airplanes didn't just disappear. They didn't just, get shuffled off into the witness protection program somewhere, get paid off, and to leave all their family. The craziness that's out there about some of this stuff. Just what happened, happened. Now, what they did with what happened is a whole other story. How they took away our rights with the Patriot Act, and the organizations like the Homeland Security and TSA and everything else that happened after that, just all the money and the funding and everything is spent. It's just, again, it just comes back to just corruption. And one more chance for corruption. And the ability to take away our rights out of fear. Same kind of thing. So we have this thing that's happening now, and I've looked into this a little bit. All these people on Facebook, all these people on social media are now coming out and saying, to my friends who voted for Donald Trump, What do you think about this, this, and this? They're starting to ask these questions. I bet if I go to, I'm going to go to Facebook right now. I bet I can find a post that will be exactly what I'm talking about without even trying. Oh, here we go. Very first thing I have on here. Let's see what we have here. This is letters from Bill Clinton. Oh, yeah. It's things like this. Bill Clinton fired a whole bunch of people. 377,000 federal employees he fired in the first, by 1993. And I said, fired federal workforce grew from 2.0. Just all different things like this. That person was obviously on the right. It was a Trump fan. And then you have this. Let's see what else we've got here. We've got other things. Quite a milestone, a wonderful celebration. We get that. So now I'm down about the third or fourth thing here. We got the fourth thing. Well, this is, Oh, I saw a friend of mine's father passed away. Sorry to hear that. So we have, we can keep on going down here. If you oppose, oh, here we go. If you oppose DEI, here, this is a particular, this is an individual that always posts. She's a radical left-wing wacko. You should have to use the full phrase instead of the letters. Be brave and say, I oppose diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, I also oppose the Affordable Health Care Act. Because what it says is not what it is. So this person is saying, this is a repost. This is a the person who originally posted this is Jive Perky, supposedly. Instead of Jive Turkey. But the person who posted it is not Jive Perky. I mean, the person who got on my feed was not. So they're reposting this kind of stuff. Bonus points if you admit which part of that you don't like. I don't like any part of it. I don't think a person should be hired based on the diversity part is whatever. Equity, I believe in all those things, but not the way it's used. Because if you're a DEI hire, that means that you weren't hired on merit. You were hired on based on something, color of your skin, religion, whatever it is you were hired on, your sexual orientation. Something that has nothing to do with the job you're doing. Tell me what difference does it make what color a person's skin is when, if they can fly an airplane or drive a bus or operate a crane. What difference does it make?
What, at this point, what difference does it make?
I mean, making it an acronym transforms it into a thought-terminating cliche. From now on, be proud of your opinions, but be specific. Let everyone know if it's diversity you don't like, or if it's equity, or if it's what are they saying here? Stupid. Arrested USDA Inspector Phyllis Fong, a 22-year-old deep state operative. So the key players behind the artificial inflation of poultry and egg price. I knew this was going to happen. This is artificial. This whole thing with egg prices are going up. Well, they caused it. And they finally found the person, the USDA, started this whole thing. This is why you can't buy eggs right now, boiled eggs, hard-boiled eggs, at Costco, because everybody's buying them up because, we're going to have an egg shortage. Better buy up the eggs. That's not what's happening at all. Let's see here. We've got someone is holding a newspaper that she has kept since 2011. The paper contains an article by Bill Gates called Depopulation Through Compulsory Vaccination. Yeah, it's always a little bit scary. Trump is firing government employees. But there's somebody else reposting the same thing, only it's the other way around. Trump is firing government employees, but he learned this from Bill Clinton in his birth. So this is the whole thing. Same article, different perspective. What do we get here? We get something else. We get congratulations to Trump on securing a $1.3 billion border security deal from Canada, which was already negotiated in December 2020. Okay, this is a particular individual, another individual that comes across my feed, who says this kind of stuff. Now, she reposted this. This isn't something she put out there. As confirmed by Prime Minister Trudeau in the video I shared the other day, this was already in place. FOTUS is such a liar. Now, this is FOTUS. Apparently, she's talking about Trump. Now, listen to me very clearly here. This is in December. Congratulations to Trump on securing a $1.3 billion border security deal from Canada, which was already negotiated in December of 24. Now, I bet I could read the comments on here. One person's going to stand up for this and say what I'm going to say, and everybody else is going to pounce on that person. There's no use even responding to these people because they're just going to pounce on you. And something weird is going to happen. It's just... Who is this? This is... Interesting. I guess that was one of the flight attendants. Okay. Okay. So this whole deal was negotiated in December. Well, that was after November. Guess who they knew was going to be the president? All of a sudden, we better make this deal. It was negotiated not by the Biden campaign, not by the Biden administration or the Kamala Harris administration. None of those people did this deal. It was negotiated in December of 2024, last year, because they knew what was coming. The problem was they weren't implementing it. They weren't doing anything about it. They were supposed to put this $1.3 billion was supposed to pay for border security on the Canadian side. They weren't doing it. They were never going to implement this. It all just looked good on paper. Same thing with the Mexican government. Nothing was happening. I think they were supposed to commit 1,500 troops or something like that to the border. It's supposed to stop. They weren't doing anything down there. And Trump's whole thing was, and of course the Colombian deal as well. They were shipping people here. They didn't want their people back. All these crazy people they sent here. They emptied their prisons out and sent them all here. They wouldn't take them back. Why wouldn't you want your people back? Because they were the bad people. So guess what happens? The tariffs go into place. Oh, all of a sudden we're willing to negotiate a deal. All of a sudden they're going to take the people back. At first they put up this, oh, we're not going to cave to this. And then they realized 25% tariff. What's that going to do to us? Oh, we better take those people back. Same thing with Canada. Same thing with Mexico. These people have no concept. Here's another NJ.com. How Trump was outfoxed by Mexico's president over tariffs. And less than 1% of the drugs, this is some of the comments, and less than 1% of the drugs come through Canada. So what are they doing? What they are doing should get rid of the rest. They're already doing more than others. See, the problem is they're going to shut off the Mexican border. They will do it from, there are super labs in Canada. They're going to make the fentanyl there and bring it across the border from Canada. I guarantee you the Canadian border is a lot easier to get across than the Mexican border. They're just calling the Trump people the part of the Trump cult. We're in for a bumpy ride. Similar situation with Mexico. I've seen information. It's multiple news. Same thing. These people are so ignorant of what's actually happening here. They won't take 10 minutes to explore the actual, just the reality of what's happening. To get the facts straight. Oh, I got the facts right here. Here's the facts. And they'll show us something. And it's from MSNBC or some unconfirmed sources. It's a narrative. It's not news. It's a narrative. So here we are. Well, I need to check in with Facebook a little more often. There's some interesting things on here. The none of them are worth. Oh, that's interesting. So we have, that's all I'm going to say about that. So a lot of this stuff is coming from moveon.org. It's coming from all these other, the Tide Foundation, the Tides Foundation or whatever it's called. The just things like that. It's being perpetrated by people from there coming up with these memes. They're making all this stuff, the Harry Sissons of the world that are pumping things out, all the there's not as many left wing, like I would say Cenk Uygur, but the Young Turks, they're kind of falling apart, it seems, here right now. And of course, a lot of that funding also is a lot of it's coming from Google, but a lot of it's coming from USAID and that kind of thing. It's coming from organizations there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to afford them. It's how an organ. The whole thing has just been puffed up, and basically, it's all astroturf, is what they're all saying now. That's the term they're using. So this whole thing was. The left is not as popular as people, as they would have you to believe. But you still have people out here like this that are reposting things that are absolutely insane. Just absolutely stupid. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes out the other day. He starts talking about how stupid, how ignorant Elon Musk is. This coming from a woman who doesn't know what a garbage disposal is. She was freaking out over a garbage disposal. Here we go again. Elon Musk's team now has full access to Treasury's payments system. Yeah, this boy, some of the people who are making comments here really surprise me sometimes. Oh, so they're calling it a national security breach that even those who voted for him should be outraged and terrified about. I'm hearing zero from my MAGA friends. Yeah, you don't have any MAGA friends left anymore, by the way. I would not necessarily consider people like that. I consider them acquaintances now. They're just... I don't know what to say, really. Just I'm not sure. Yeah. So, a friend of mine went to Bucky's. Look at that. All right, enough of that. Enough of this drivel. I've gone much longer than I intended to. I'm actually 15 minutes over the time I planned on. So I've got to get going, folks. Thanks for listening. I just, wake up. Don't just listen to this phony baloney stuff that's out there. All these numbers, they quote numbers that are way off, way off. They trick you with the number. They don't ever give you sources and things like that. So they'll say, well, 30% voted for this, 30% voted for that. 30% of where's the source? I don't see a source quoted here. And I don't see relative to what? Relative to the entire nation? So you're talking out of 350 million people, or are you talking about out of 150 million registered voters? Are you talking about registered voters, or are you talking about the entire population? What's the number here you're working with? There's no specifics on any of this stuff. There's no source, there's no footnotes, no receipts. That's what we need now today. Folks, Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. Pray for our nation. God bless you. Have a good day.